sometimes in life you find yourself on the right side of the line, where the skies open up and cast a towering shadow, guarding you from the worst life has to offer. And then, that same sky rips away that warm blanket from your clutching arms and casts it into the night. Now, you are on the wrong side of the line. And that's why I'm here, to keep you in line. A line we call the Dry Line.
Now remember the Global Ag Network.
Casey, if you heard that, that's a precursor to what I'm going to tell you about on some of my sales stories this week, okay?
All right.
All right, everybody. This is the Dryland Farmer Podcast, and we have got probably a more highly skilled co-host today. He's actually in the podcasting business, and because Landon, let me tell you about Landon. Landon likes to play softball, and it's not kind of one of those that's what she said things. He actually plays softball and still doesn't invite me. So we were going to record Wednesday night, but no, he had to go pitch. And I had a meeting Tuesday night. So right now I've got the one and only, the very interesting Casey Seymour, host of the Moving Iron Podcast. Casey, how's it going, man?
I'm doing good, buddy. If you're trying to hang your hat on me, buddy, you got a long night ahead of you.
Hey,
I promise you that.
We don't set the bar just too high around here. So, I mean, you really don't – I mean – the sky's not really the limit, so, I mean, you know, it's just kind of whatever we can reach for. So I figure a fellow Global Ag Network podcaster's got to have some kind of, some kind of skill.
I'm your guy then.
All right, sweet. Well, Casey, where are you?
I'll take this job.
Casey, where are you at right now?
Where are you at right now, Casey?
I'm in Burlington, Colorado, here, standing out the window of a Fairfield Inn, looking at a Lowe's truck stop across the street, so... good times.
Any lot lizards wandering around?
Well, I bet you if I went and kicked a few tires, I might find something.
I've been to a few of those truck stops, and I always see they got signs on the sides of the sleepers that say no lot lizards. But it's really nice, though. They say no lot lizards, please. I mean, they're polite about it.
One thing good about that brand is they're polite and ask people nicely not to sell themselves.
Yeah, I mean, real truckers are a misunderstood bunch. You know, they're a good crew.
Yeah.
Now. But they're pleasant. Right. They're very polite about rebuffing the prostitutes of the trucking world. But everybody, it's a great thing that we've got Casey on this week, because I'm ranting on salespeople this week, and as you all may or may not know, Casey is in the sales business. Casey, quickly tell us what do you sell? What kind of metal are you pushing?
I work for a John Deere dealership, so I'm a sales guy for John Deere equipment, and basically cover the Nebraska Panhandle and Eastern Colorado.
So, Casey, be honest with me. How hard do you really work at your job?
Because
I've got a few strategies I'm going to run by you, and I'm going to ask you if you incorporate them in your business.
Well, to answer your first question, it's been pretty tough here of late. I mean, you know, we're a niche group. We have our main 100% of our sales base are either you're ranching or you're farming. So there's no middle ground there. There's not a lot of folks coming in buying stuff that if you're not in that, and if you are, you have a house in town someplace, you're buying a lawnmower or something like that. So, it's been a bit of a challenge, but you know, we're trying to come up with the best cash flow opportunities for our customers that we come up with. So, it's every day's a challenge.
Casey, do you move a lot of lawnmowers?
I don't personally, but we have people that do that, and oddly enough, that I call it 5-acre-itis. You got 5 acres, you need tractors, and I like those folks.
Word.
And they go out and put 10 hours a year on a tractor and mow a ditch, and I like that a lot.
Casey, a little equipment talk before we get too into it. My brother sent me a picture of one of our neighbors, and he's got a, I don't know, I think it's a 4440 case sprayer, self-propelled. And he sent me a picture, and this damn thing was upside down. And I'm like, how in the hell did that happen? It was, they said it flipped over backwards. Like, you know, I can understand turning over on its side, or maybe even yanking back on the hydrostat and, you know, falling face forward, but they said it flipped over backwards. And fortunately,
go ahead.
I was just saying, you know, flipping forward's one thing, but going over backwards, I'm trying to picture it in my head. Well, anyway, he said they don't know how it happened. I'm like, somebody knows how it happened.
Well, Case do have their engines in the back of the sprayers are in the back.
Right.
So I guess if you hit a hill somehow.
Well, see, that was the thing.
Down, but,
that was the thing. It was on a flat surface in the picture. And once again, Hereford, or the Texas Panhandle, we ain't got no many hills.
That's true. I've been down there. I've seen it.
But no, it was a flat surface. But it was upside down. And they said the guy walked away without a scratch. But it was the damnedest thing I've ever seen. I almost got into a predicament with our. We've got a 3330. And this has been 4, 5, 6 years ago. I was spraying around one of my dad's circles, and I was getting in between. So it's a 120-acre circle, you know, so it's got a quarter-mile sprinkler on it. So I'm going around the edge of it, and I'm getting kind of where the edge of the circle, you know, nudges up against the border of the quarter section. And on the edge, there's a barbed wire fence of our neighbor. And this is when the corn, I mean, we're tasseled out. You know, it's late in the season, and I guess I'm spraying a corner, I think. And so I've got my booms all the way up, and I'm looking left for the barbed wire fence, and I'm looking right for the corn. And I know up ahead of me there's an old abandoned well that got filled in. So I'm looking for three different things. And it was supposed to be filled in, mind you. That's the key to this story. So I'm looking left, I'm looking right, and I look down, and that thing is not filled in. It's washed in some. So I yank it back just as my front tire goes in the edge of it. And over the edge of it, so I just crank back on the hydrostat. And long story short, nobody was around except my wife, and we had to go get. There was no pulling it because if you were going to pull it, you were going to rip the tire or the wheel off. So we had to get the wheel loader, and we had to lift and pivot the wheel loader and get it out. And I wasn't really crapping my pants until I saw the hole that I just avoided going down in, because it was another at least 30 or 40 feet of open hole I could see after the tire of the sprayer kind of knocked the dirt loose. So it could have been a whole lot worse of a day. But but I still wouldn't have gone over my back. I would have gone, you know, to the side or something, and it would have hurt. But yeah.
So you would have. You're trying to fill in a hole, Brent?
Well, not on purpose. Not on purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we have a new guy landing. Look out. Look out. But anyway, that's a good another question for you, Casey. How many pieces of equipment would you say that you've sold to people because of a wreck? Like, not just wear and tear, but like some accident. Is there a percentage?
Not as many as you think. Not as many as you think. Every once in a while, you get the guy that falls asleep. See, out here where we're at, we get a lot of irrigation ditches, you know, stuff coming out of the mountains, and there's deep irrigation ditches, and every once in a while, a guy falls asleep and drives his tractor or sprayer or whatever off into the irrigation ditch. But for the most part, it's not a very common thing. Most of the stuff that we sell equipment to when it comes to big issues like that is when like a combine catches on fire or a baler catches on fire or something like that. They don't have any cotton pickers our way, so we don't have to worry about that fire hazard. But for the most part, if something really goes off the rails, it's because of fire.
Fire, yeah. You know, we didn't, you know, in 2017 we had all those cotton stripper fires, as you probably remember. But, you know, last year it wasn't really an issue. I think maybe just maybe you couldn't even count on one hand how many got burned up, which is too many. But, so fires, well, that's interesting to know. But, yeah, and I'm not innocent of wrecks. I've had one or two that it wasn't a total disaster, but they got bent up, which everybody's allowed at least one or two or five. So yeah, I'm just glad I worked for myself, because God Almighty, I would have fired myself a long time ago. It's a great deal. Well, Casey, we're going to get into our first break here. We've got Radar Ricardo. He's going to give us a – he may be – you know, Casey, I think he's on a boat somewhere in Nebraska, and he's going to give us a weather update from up there. And even though it's not a laughing matter, we're going to try to maybe raise everybody's spirits a little bit. So he's going to give us a fishing report from Nebraska. And I hadn't heard the sponsor yet, but we're going to have a sponsor. It may be some fishing tackle from Radar Ricardo and Diego. So we're going to have those guys on next. And we're going to interview Casey Seymour, and we're going to see if he uses the tactics that I've run across over the last 7 to 10 days. And we'll have that right after this.
Hey, this is Radar Ricardo, De Nacerio, and
Diego, for Diego, bait and tackle.
Hey, I don't know if you heard that, but though, this is sponsored this week is Diego's Bay and Tackle Box. And we're still in the prototype stages or whatever.
Hey, man, let me tell get over here, man. I gotta change my bait out anyway.
Hey, Mato, this is Diego. Hey, we got a fishing tackle, and like my colleague said, Radar Ricardo de Nacerio, we're still in the prototype phases, and we're still our tack box. It's a Ziploc bag, Mato, which I know sounds kind of counterintuitive, because what with all the hooks and whatnot and everything like that, it kind of pokes through the Ziploc bag. But we're working on a special liner. It's a bubble wrap, my thought.
Hey, man, let's get a pop all the bubbles. Hey, I'm on it.
Hey, anyway. I just got a spinnerbait in my throat, my thought. Anyway, the Ziploc bag, we're going to line it with a bubble wrap. And then we've got, we got specials. We got gummy worms. And what else we got?
Man, gummy worms ain't no bad. That's for little kids.
Why don't you let me take care of it, huh? Oh, okay, so we got gummy worms, and we got the little spinners.
Hey, Mato, those are spinner bait. Hey, Mato, those little spinners that the little chingaleta boys and girls like spin to keep their attention from getting all whack or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man, Mato, where you been?
Well, hey, Mato, like I said, we're still in the prototype stages, but please check out Diego's Bait and Tackle Shop. We're all over the map, Mato, on this thing. We got it covered. Nobody's got anything on us. Diego's Bait and Tackle.
Hey, man, we need to turn those music off.
Yeah, oh, hey. This is Radar Ricardo.
Hey, Mato, what are you doing, man?
I don't care if it's a Mercury. Hey, Mato. Hey, we're up here in the lake in Nebraska, Mato. We're doing some fishing. We hope everybody out here. We know there's a lot of bad stuff going on, but we thought we'd go up to Nebraska and show some humor to a lot of the Matos up there that are in the flooding, and we hope it rains real quick. But Mato, I tell you what, man, there's a lot of fishing going on up there. We're pike fishing in Nebraska, Mato. We're the first compromise to up here to be pike fishing in Nebraska. I always thought they were like in Canada or whatever, but it's a.
Hey, Mato, what are you doing?
Hey, Mato, no weather report today. We're giving a fishing report today, Mato. We got the pike. We're catching pike on the spinner bait, Mato. Also, we've got some beach of carp. We're catching them on night crawlers. And let's see what else.
Hey, Mato, tell them about the rainbow shroud. Yeah, I'm getting to
it. The rainbow shroud, and I mean, they're really biting a lot today. Mato, this week's podcast brought to you by Diego's Fish and Tackle Bait, Mato. It's the only bait and tackle that you bring home in a Ziploc bag, Mato. This is Radar Ricardo, and in a video, back to you.
Hey, Mato, give me another spinner.
Well, thanks, Ricardo. That's a hell of a fishing report. I didn't know you could get pike all the way down in Nebraska. Did you know that, Casey? Pike?
No, I didn't.
No.
That's new to me.
Yeah. And the way they were fishing it, it was Casey's going to hear this podcast later, but you'll be interested to see that that weather report, the way they fish. Well, guys, it's a question to salesman. It might be a new segment. It may be a new recurring segment, Casey. You never know. But, okay, we're going to, got to have intro music, so here we go. Casey, I've got some strategies that I've run across this last 2 weeks, let's call it. So I traded a new pickup. Finally traded it for a new pickup. We're gonna start showing calves this summer, so I figured I'm gonna have to need more than a little half ton, and so I traded up, and it was about time for it anyway, and ended up going to the big dealer up in the big city of Amarillo because well, let me just ask you, Casey, have you ever used the I don't really care if I sell you anything tactic? And if you have, was it very successful?
That's one of those ones where you kind of have to kind of measure your customer a little bit, because sometimes if you can feel like the customer doesn't care if they buy anything or not, if you reciprocate there, then sometimes it works.
Yeah, well, it didn't work. I'll just tell you, it didn't work. The guy... So I bought this pickup a week ago Monday. I've almost had it 2 weeks. And my local guy still hadn't called me. He doesn't even know I bought one. And it's a Ford. And if you've been, I don't know if it's like this in Nebraska, but it seems like Ford's really just cornered the market on the three-quarter ton, one-ton pickups. And Chevy. I mean, you see more Dodges and Fords than Chevys, but... down here, I mean, the Fords are really kind of running away with it, and I guess for good reason. They're pretty solid. And I've always driven. I've had a Chevy or two before, but in the big pickups, the Fords haven't really done well. But yeah, so he's never really called me back, and you know, used to in day and age, they kind of hound you and high pressure you. They don't. Casey, I don't think he gives a shit, to be honest with you. And I showed some pretty good interest. He had just got through selling my two brothers and my dad new pickups within the last 4 months. And they wanted to steal my pickup in a trade. It was completely unbelievable how much better deal I get, you know, up in 45 miles away in Amarillo. But I'm not going to name any names. But the I don't care strategy, I was a little skeptical of it. And turns out I was right. I didn't buy from them. So, but that was just kind of a minor one. I'm going to go ahead and get to my favorite one. This is my favorite strategy. Have you ever used the toot toot method? Do you know what the toot toot method? Do you know what that is?
I don't know that one.
Okay,
that's a new one.
Casey, this is where you're in a van and you pull up to the barn. You know, these are guys out in the country. They're shopping all the farmers. And you pull up in a van, which already, I mean, who trusts a guy in a van? I mean, he didn't have the mini curtains hanging from the top of the windshield, you know, like some of those hoopties are, and he didn't have he didn't have the entertainer playing on speakers coming out of the side windows, you know, and I mean, these were a couple of, you know, they seem like nice fellas, but anyway, so the strategy is you pull up to it, you got your arm hanging out the window, you kind of almost come in on two wheels, and you give your horn the little doot-doot, and apparently that's their calling card. You are supposed to come to them with the arm hanging out the window. I was shocked, mind you, shocked. There was not a heater hanging from this guy's lips. I figured if anybody's going to have a Marlboro 100 hanging from his pipe, it's going to be this dude. And I'm already not. And so let me stop there. Have you ever used this method?
That's a brand new one to me that I'm not familiar with. So I'm anxious to learn.
You know, I have never come across the toot-toot method. And I thought I'd seen it all. I've heard all kinds of spills. So I'm already, and so I'm walking through the barn. We've got our barn all the way opened up. We got these, you know, big barn doors. And I'm walking through our barn, and I see him pull in, and I already cringe when I see a salesman. It's one thing if I see a salesman that I know, but these guys that are just fly by night guys. I'm walking through the barn carrying a chain. It's not a log chain, but it's like, you know, a 3/8-inch, you know, link chain. And I'm already, they already got three strikes, so they're already out before they get to the plate. I'm not in the mood. I'm carrying a bunch of metal in my arms, and I'm on my way to something. So, I mean, the guy didn't have a chance to begin with. I walk up, it's like, hey, man, you the one that makes the decisions around here? And, man, I tell you what, I've probably been mistaken for being dumb. But by God, when those guys come up with the toot-toot method, I turn into freaking Rain Man without the counting ability. Because I am not going to be a manager of anything. No, man, he's not here. It's like, well, did he leave you in charge? No, man, I'm doing stuff, and I can't, you know, we can't do anything. Okay, Gacy.
All right, so I heard in Western Nebraska, where there's tons of hail, right?
Right. Okay.
It's awful. I mean, the hail we get out here is unmatched anything else. So I grew up around Wichita, Kansas, and we were used to getting massive, like, 3-mile-wide tornadoes and those kind of things, but not so much on the hillside. Like, we get golf ball size hail every once in a while.
Well, if you have a 3-mile-wide tornado, you're not too worried about the hail.
hail is the second. That's my point. So, like, the tornadoes are a big deal. The hail is kind of whatever, right?
Okay.
My first year I lived out here, we had 10 days of, like, golf ball size hail out of 14, right? Okay. And I was starting to wonder where the hell I moved to. So
no pun intended, yeah.
But so we had that same thing come through. Those guys would come through here, and they'll come do whatever, you know. They come promise you the world and whatever else, and they do all this stuff. And as a sales guy, I love messing with other sales guys. It's my favorite thing to do, you know.
Sure.
And I learned it from my dad. My dad's one of those guys that was bored, and he'd go to the car dealership on Saturday and run through 4 hours of negotiation and then walk away because that filled up his afternoon, right? that's kind of how my dad rolled, you know. So it's one of those things that always made me laugh. We'd go, Mom and everybody else would be out shopping or whatever. Dad, let's go to the car dealership and see if we can't get a good deal. And I was like, we buying a car? They said, absolutely not. We're going to see if we can't get a good deal. And so that's kind of how we rolled. So it made me laugh. So,
the Casey Seymour puzzle is kind of starting to come together.
So those guys show up at my house, you know, and they'll start knocking on your door and say, hey, Joe, what are we going to do? We're going to replace your roof, and we're going to give you free guttering. I'm like, how are you going to give me free guttering? Well, because it's, you know, we're doing whatever, you know, we've got a good deal on some guttering, we're going to give you free guttering. He's like, so what you're telling me is you're going to mark my roof up about $3,500. that's how I'm going to get my free guttering, you know. Do that whole stuff over and over again. Nothing makes my day more. My wife won't have anything to do with it. My wife's kind of introverted, and she doesn't like dealing with people unless she has to. And I'm like, oh, come on in, let's talk a little bit. I'll bring them in the house, we'll sit down at the table, start doing some math on the table, and just the whole thing. And it's a fun little exercise that I watch my oldest boy. He'll sit down with me and like, now watch this now. Here's what we're going to do. And
hey.
we'll go through this whole thing, and it makes me laugh watching these guys twist and turn as I'm putting them through the paces.
Casey, you know what you're like. You're like Al Qaeda at home on the weekend, and a Jehovah's Witness shows up to the front door. They invite them in and try to turn them into Muhammad. That's what you are, basically. You're the Al Qaeda of the you're the Al Qaeda of the salespeople.
There's nothing cooler though for me when a Jehovah's Witness does show up at your door.
It's pretty awesome.
Because they come in, and I'm super excited when I get my monthly new edition of the Watchtower. I get that, and it comes in, you know, and I'm sitting there reading. I'm like, this is so great. Come on, let's talk about this for a little bit. I burn an hour and a half of their day for no reason. I mean, they're just jerking their thing. But it's one of those things that I look forward to, and I haven't had one come by for a while since I moved to my new neighborhood, but I'm waiting for one to come by because it's the coolest thing to show them the coolest thing to lemonade, talk about the latest edition of the Watchtower, and go from there.
Oh, man. If you just need to bring in L. Ron Hubbard, that way they can get another. You know, I've always wondered, and you know, I'm a Sunday school teacher, believe it or not. I teach at one of our adult classes. I've always wondered, what is their, so do they think if they're not Jehovah's Witness, they're going to hell? I've heard that they only believe the 144,000 in, like, Revelation are going to heaven or something. But I've always wondered, do people, like, even, like, some Christian denominations, and this has got everything to do with sales, I mean, let me tell you. Okay, like, there's certain denominations, they think if you're not, even if you're a Christian, if you're not in their denomination, you're going to the hot place. What is that? I mean, so I'm thinking in my mind, if I ask them, why is that? It's like, what are they going to say? Oh, you just love Jesus wrong.
Most of them will tell you because. That's about the extent of their explanation.
Because Grandpappy said it.
Yeah, because. Oh, really? Because why? Because.
Because
that's why.
Because you don't love Jesus the right way. Yeah, you love Jesus wrong. But anyway, I digress. So, yeah, that's a good sales strategy. If you don't do this, you're going to go have a picnic with Satan, and he's bringing the fork. So, you know, not a very good strategy. So, yeah, so we've covered Satanism. We've covered the toot-toot method. I've covered car sales. Okay, so, and I love this guy, my salesman at the place I actually bought the place. Heck of a nice guy. And, you know, I've been saying the last couple of days to people, like, oh, you got, you know, because if you get a new pickup, everybody sees you and they got to ask you about it. He said, so, you know, I was going to try to get it down here. I mean, the sales strategy was bad to begin with, but the fact they were going to absolutely bend me over on this trade-in, I mean, that was the deal breaker. But, so anyway, I want to know how you feel. The salesman that I actually bought a pickup from, he was an African-American fella, hell of a nice guy. And I've been saying, you know, I don't know if he actually cared, but if he didn't, he did a hell of a job pretending that he cared. And, you know, that he could have sold me a smart car with three tires and I probably bought it from him because at least he pretended he cared. But he made me kind of feel uncomfortable, not because of we were different races, but because he was one of those salesmen that called me boss. Have you run across the boss?
Okay, yeah, that guy, yep.
Boss guy. Most of the time it's the fly-by-night guys. But I'm like, you know, I mean, you're cool and everything, but you can't see me right now, but I'm waving like hell, Casey, with my hands. He's calls like, yeah, boss, man, whatever you say, you know. And, you know, I mean, it was cool, you know, but have you ever found yourself or caught yourself accidentally going the boss route?
I've never done that because whenever I'm at a place like that and somebody calls me boss, I'm looking for Bruce Springsteen someplace, you know what I mean? And that's the biggest deal there. But, you know, when someone tries to be that relatable to me, I just met you 30 seconds ago, and I don't know you, and you don't know me, so we're not in the house. So
what about?
It's just we're trying to conduct business here, Chief.
Well, oh man, you just stole it from me. I was gonna say, what about Chief? Have you ever used Chief?
The only time if I
you just did, you, Casey.
But if I use Chief with you in a conversation, it's I'm a little bit perturbed if I'm just throwing out the word Chief to you.
Are you part Native American, Casey?
Matter of fact, I am, actually, yes.
What, like Elizabeth Warren Indian?
No, I'm a quarter Cherokee Indian.
The fact that you had to think for more than 3 seconds and you got all the way up to a quarter, I don't know, Casey. Did you do the Ancestry.com thing?
There's no Pocahontas here, bro. Okay, that's legit.
Well, no, I'm thinking more like sitting bullshit, to be honest with you. You know, that whole Ancestry.com thing, you know, I listen to Glenn Beck, and a lot of times he's funny, is why I listen to him, but he's big on pushing that, and I don't think it's Ancestry.com, but it's one of those deals where you spit on a DNA deal, and you send it. And Bill Burr, I don't know if it was Jim Gaffigan or Bill Burr, and I want to give him credit, but why would you want to send your DNA to the internet? I mean, Glenn Beck is kind of a known – I mean, he's been a conspiracy theorist on a few things. I'm shocked that he is sending his DNA to the internet. I mean
– He's a what's that, You and Me in 23 or something like that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, 23 and Me.
23 and Me, that's what it is, yeah.
I wonder if we'll get a stop-in for advertising.
I mean, well, just call Delaney and see if she can hook up.
Well, she's already supposed to be working on Yeti for me. So I'm expecting a 23andMe royalty check
next week, Delaney.
I'm actually going to be on Agnews Daily tomorrow I know Mike's back, so it's going to be Delaney and Mike and myself. So I told him to get ready to drop it like it's hot. But
dynamic duo getting after it.
Oh man, it's going to be the trio of terror, man, is what it's going to be. but we're kind of all over the place here, Landon. It's Casey. I'm pretty sure it's Casey. Okay, Casey. Let's move our focus a little bit to the more back to the fly-by-night guys that show up at your house. Asphalt guy. Now, do you have any experience with asphalt guy?
I haven't really had asphalt guy show up, but I've had friends that have had asphalt guy show up.
Any stories that we can compare?
Well, I had a guy show up to asphalt guy showed up to a friend of mine's house, and he had he kind of had the 5-acre thing or 10-acre deal, or whatever it was. But he had the long driveway.
Okay.
And he bought it that way, and it's asphalted in. And the guy came, stopped by, you know, big hailstorm comes through, stops by, looks at it, and says, "Hey, man, your asphalt driveway's got hail damage." And I just happened to be there when he was saying that. I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, we call those potholes." Like, "No, man, I mean, where the hell hits? That's hail damage." I go, "So we have a golf ball, so that's hell with a quarter inch indention." He's like, "Well, yeah, so you probably want to replace that." I was like, "You really got to be kidding me right now. You want us to do $25,000 worth of asphalt work for something that's probably going to smooth itself out?" And asphalt guy was, you know, again, almost a 2-2 guy. I came in. But he was burning. Not only was he burning a Marlboro Red, but a Marlboro Red 100.
Nice.
And I had the slick back hair. I was like, "That guy's cool." I bummed a cigarette from him. We had a little conversation for a while. But he was trying to pump this guy for $25,000 because he had hail damage on his driveway. It made me laugh.
I thought the only people that smoked Marlboro 100s are strippers.
Not that I would know, but yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, strippers and asphalt guy, I guess that kind of goes, can you imagine asphalt guy at the strip club? Oh, man.
Well, asphalt guy runs the strip club. She does that.
I would think that would be the name of the strip club is asphalt guy. So my asphalt guy, I'm not going to say that. The guy that pulled into the house, this was last week. And he wasn't a kid, I guess. Everybody's a kid now. But he couldn't be more than 20, you know, early 20s. He's like, "Hey, man, I noticed your asphalt over there's got cracks in it. You know, we can fix that up." And, you know, he does the whole hard sell. You know, "I noticed over there you got a dip in this and that." And he's like, I saw, "Oh, yeah. I've actually got people already lying." Of course, I know he's already heard all the lines, too, but I've actually got people coming in. They dug fiber, and this is actually a true story. They dug fiber under my, you know, board it, and they hit like two or three water lines, and they had to dig up some asphalt. Anyway, they're supposed to come back and fix it. But it's like, "Oh, yeah." So I was kind of halfway telling the truth. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, they've got, I've got people coming back to fix that." And so are you you from around here? It's like, "Oh, yes, we're from Amarillo." I'm just like, dude, for real, you sound nothing like me. This guy was – there was no way this guy has grown up anywhere south of New York City. This is the biggest damn Yankee I've ever seen. And I'm pretty sure I knew who he was because he sounded exactly like this guy. Oh, not older fellow, but middle-aged guy. I'm like, "This is this cat's son," because he sounds exactly like this other guy. And thing about asphalt guy I've noticed is they've always got jacked-up rigs with polished wheels.
Uh-huh.
My question is, what's a better tactic? Coming up in a humble, you know, F-150 or something that's not, you know, that a giraffe couldn't clear underneath it, or, you know, just a, you know, if it's a jacked up one, or a humble, you know, little, I don't know, Mitsubishi something, and looks like you're really starving to death trying to get stuff done. So does the jacked up rig tell the customer they're successful and good at what they do? Or does the humble car say these guys suck and they can't make any money because they do crappy jobs? I mean, is it a double-edged sword?
Yeah.
Who are you gonna buy from?
Well, normally the guys that jacked up rig like that and the chrome rims and the push guard on the front and all that kind of stuff also took a Bass and Axe body spray. So it just does not come across as someone that I'd want to do business with. The funny thing, I always think about this when I'm thinking about that, but just like what you just said, you see the movie Hall Pass, right?
Oh yeah.
And the guy's got the touring edition of the Honda Odyssey, and that's how he's an insurance guy or whatever, doesn't have the kids though, but he pulls up to do that thing. That actually does go a long ways. You know, if somebody showed up to me and they just had a regular car, and they jump out and talk to him like that, I'm going to give him probably a little bit more respect than I am the guy that pulls in he's got the $50,000 or $60,000 truck with $5,000 worth of rims and tires on it. I'm going to be like, I really can't trust you right now.
No.
You got a payment to make, and I know why you're here.
So since you say you haven't had just a whole lot of direct contact with asphalt guys, okay, so asphalt guys, they always got a load left for the day. It's like, hey, man, we've got a load. Have you heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, man, we've got a load left over, and we just got to get rid of it. And I tell you what, today, usually we do it for such and such. I'm like, hey, yo, hold up. It's 8 in the morning, Bato. It's like you don't have a load left. This is your first load of the day. Okay,
yeah.
just pull the brakes back a little bit, man. Don't just be straight with me. You have not worked all night, and this is the last load that you've got to get rid of. So anyway, he's already out the door. It's like, hey, man, I tell you what, and this is getting to my other favorite line. Okay, usually, this week I have to charge you about $2,000, but today we'll do it for $1,500 since this is my last load. I got to get rid of it. No, man, I can't do it. That's just too much. I'll tell you what, okay, here it comes. Don't tell anybody this, okay? But I mean, just if you don't tell anybody, I'll do it for $1,000, man. It's like, man, I don't know. I can't do it. It's like, okay, man, just promise. If you promise you won't tell anybody, I'll do it for $750. No. that's my favorite. Okay, don't tell anybody that I'm giving you this deal. I mean, do I have idiot? I mean, is it stamped on my face? I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. But
I'll give you a good example of that. So one other time, my other experience with an asphalt guy was again with my dad. My dad lives out right outside of town. He's got like 5 acres or 10 acres or whatever. He lives about 2 or 3 miles outside of town. And same kind of deal comes by. My dad's got, I don't know what he's got, 200 yards of driveway, maybe, if it's even that far. And asphalt guy shows up, and oddly enough, same kind of deal. I got just enough left over for death. I got to probably do your whole driveway here, right? My dad's the worst guy to ever run into, man. I mean, a guy trying to sell something horrible. What a person to run into. And he goes, okay, well, what happens if you don't drop it here today? He goes, well, we got to dump it in the dump, whatever. We got to get rid of it. Some trash together. It's like, I'll tell you what, I'll save your trip. Just go out there about 5 minutes behind this pole over here, this tree, over, see that tree over there? Just dump it right there, and I'll take care of it for you. Do me a favor. The guy's like, no, I just can't do that. He's like, well, I thought you were going to get rid of it. I thought it was trash if I didn't take it. So, I'll just do you a favor, man. Just dump it out there by the tree. And for about an hour goes by. Because my dad has nothing else to do, right?
Hope he's retired,
so nothing to go to, right? So he's just doing the whole song and dance. Hour and a half goes by. Finally ends up, the asphalt guy says, I can't drop it off over here, sir. Okay, I just can't do that. And I guess I'm just going to have to take it to the dump and do whatever. The dad's like, hey, that's fine, man, whatever. I'm just trying to do you a favor, man. The dump's about 2.5 miles down the road. If you get lost, here's my phone number, give me a shout, and I'll tell you how to get there. That's the epitome of my father. That right there, you can't beat my dad. He's also a sales guy too, so trying to get over on him is going to be you're going to have to get up early. But it was funny to watch that exchange for about an hour and a half. Of course, we're drinking beer the whole time we're doing it, so that's even made it more fun.
That is awesome. I mean, I'm a smart ass, but I mean, your dad, he's You talk about setting the bar high, dude. That's up there in champion level.
Yeah,
I'm
just
wondering how
to get him on the podcast
one of these days. Hell yeah, man. Just get Mr. Seymour. Heck yeah. So, okay, we've got don't tell strategy. We've got this is my last load of the day strategy. Do you have a testimonial notebook of your neighbors?
That actually is a I've had a few sales guys show up and they're talking about, you know, such and such, you know, here's what they talked about, whatever, you know, and which I guess that's kind of the Yelp of sales now. If you really wanted to put it into some kind of millennial type framework, but,
right?
That whole testimonial thing, as long as you can vet it and make sense, you know, and it's not one of those companies out there that are, you know, you're hiring and the right to get a good review type of thing. That actually is pretty powerful.
I mean, yeah, it is. But I mean, this is like a notebook with, lined paper and written out stuff. You know, they got the old ladies. You got the old ladies that, it's almost like Uncle Rico selling Tupperware. You know, we still feeling pretty good about this 24 piece set. You know.
Yeah.
Oh,
right. Now this does come with the ship in the bottle, by the way. So.
I want that. Let me tell you.
I want that ship.
Since we're talking about Napoleon Dynamite, and I'm a pretty big connoisseur of Napoleon Dynamite, have you you've seen it, obviously. Did you notice the DTN machine satellite dish on the house? You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah, the DTN, yeah.
The DTN, they have a DTN satellite dish on their house, dude. I mean.
No kidding. I have to go back and rewatch that. I never pay attention to it.
Even if that movie wasn't funny, it was worth it to see some house have a DTN dish on it. I am
right.
For real. Of course, you know, they have their FFA jackets and stuff. But that DTN dish, man, that was off the hook when I saw that. I almost jumped out of my chair when I saw it. And that was one of those movies that I had to see twice to get it. I didn't get it the first time, but I got it the second time and the 15th time. But it's a cult classic to say the least. It's a cult
this
classic.
This cow's been eating onions.
This tastes like a cow got in an onion patch. Oh, man. Now, that's the one thing, Landon. Nobody really has a bar set higher than Landon on movie quotes. Cat can quote a movie. He is awesome
at
that.
He can drop some quotes.
He is, man. He's really a great bud. He and I, man, we love the freaking, as far as TV stuff, Office, I mean, we're all over that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a pretty
good. My oldest boy is 12 now. He just turned 12 when we started. It might not be the best parenting thing ever, but I introduced him to The Office the other weekend. He can't get enough of it, so I'm kind of proud.
I tell you, I don't know if this is making me older quicker, but I record Jeopardy. I love Jeopardy, man. Anyway,
record Jeopardy?
Hell yeah, man! It's freaking. You know how Jeopardy's pretty awesome. Jeopardy is like almost Nirvana when you can skip through the commercials and the player interviews. Because the commercials are bad, and I don't know about in the rest of other parts of the country, but in Amarillo, Texas, that's where we get our network stations from, almost all of the commercials are personal injury lawyers, like local personal injury lawyers, and transvaginal mesh lawsuit people.
Yeah.
Yes. And mesothelioma.
I don't know if they have a special slot for those folks between like 3 o'clock in the morning and like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But that is you're not kidding. The other day I stayed home sick from work and it was just horrible. I had the flu, of course the kids had it before I did and got me sick, but it was one of those deals where I was watching TV, just kinda flipping through there and I'm like, holy crap, man. I should just quit my job and start suing people because there's plenty of people to take care of me.
Commercials are, do they just get more and more shameless? Like the one guy, his nickname is the Strong Arm, you know, and there's this other fat white guy with a big mustache, and he's holding the baseball bat, you know.
Yeah.
So,
that makes you feel good, right? That's the guy you want.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, it's completely shameless. So you've got the lawyers, you've got the transvaginal mess. God only knows what that is. And you've got the mesothelioma guys. So now they've got the Roundup cancer commercials where they haven't proven that Roundup causes cancer. That's my favorite.
Yeah, it's borderline science there, they've claimed full fledged that it's a carcinogen.
But once again, that's more sales. I mean, their sales strategies are obviously working. So, it's relevant to the conversation, everybody.
I watched one the other day where this lawyer was, not only was he a lawyer, he was a doctor as well, right? A medical doctor. So I don't know how you do that. I don't know how that whole thing works, but he's a medical doctor and a lawyer, so you're
like, so this guy was in school till he was like 68?
Yeah. I mean, his internship was actually his law firm, so I think he's doing well.
Oh man, that's a lot of schooling, dude. That is a lot of schooling. Well, so it's 11:19 left in the first half. It is 6-6, Texas Tech, Michigan. That is one barn burner of a game, which they are. Tech has about the second best defense in the country, I think. And Buffalo had blew out Buffalo, and they beat them by like what, 15 or something, and so I don't know. I'm pretty high on Tech, which I mean, obviously I went there. Casey, run down your bracket real quick. Who'd you have Final Four?
My Final Four was UC Irvine and Buffalo and all the other long shots you get. I was trying to make my rent money.
Nice.
In enough time to where I could get a good return on my cash.
But
right now, I think. I got Duke winner at all, and I've got, I think, Duke, Tennessee, North Carolina, and maybe Michigan State, maybe.
See, I didn't know this was a term. I guess when all, like, the best-ranked teams all make it, it's called a chalk tournament. Like chalk writing on the chalkboard. I didn't know that was a term, but right. I guess when all the favorites win, it's called a chalk tournament. Anyway, so, and that's what it's turned into be. So, I know in Tex region, 1, 2, 3, 4 were in their region, and what was it, Oregon? They were the only high 12 seed. Almost everybody else was a 5 or better. But I made 4 brackets on the ESPN website, and I made 2 myself, and then I did an autofill on one, and then I did like a weighted average autofill on the other. So they're just for fun, but I'm like, my best rank is like 11 million on one of them, so it's kind of like
that's kind of where I'm at too. I don't watch any college basketball at all throughout the year until the tournament comes around.
Right.
And then I watch the first round of the tournament on Thursday, and then I lose interest.
Right.
And then I just wait for the championship game, and I kind of check my bracket. We have an office pool, it's like $10, whatever, fill out a bracket, whatever, and do and go through there. And I filled out 3. I picked one myself, and then I did I picked one of the analysts or whatever, and they picked their bracket, and then I did the statistical one. And oddly enough, the statistical one is winning.
Right, sure. So
I always go with the statistics.
I didn't realize I didn't realize today was opening day baseball. And right now, there were more runs scored in the Rangers-Cub game than there are currently in the Texas Tech-Michigan basketball game. I think Chicago ended up blowing up Texas like 12. I know it was 12 to like 2 the last time I heard. But So.
Man, I kick myself every day for this, but last time I was down in Amarillo when you and I did the podcast on a trip place.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to get some. There was in the hotel I was staying at downtown, right? Across from the convention center there in Amarillo, dude, there was a straight-up sod poodle store.
Sod poodle,
baby. I didn't have a chance to stop in there and get some sod poodle swag,
Man,
and that's
tight.
I was really wanting to get you. I was going to bring you out a hat and everything, but I just didn't have a chance to get by there.
Well, I'm still waiting on that Moving Iron podcast swag. It hadn't shown up yet.
Oh, it's in the mail, bro.
It's
coming.
That's what they said. That's what they always say. Well, Casey, man, it's been fun. I hope I can fit this all in on our network, because we're going to pull in a lot of megs on this bad boy. But Casey, before you go,
72 and you're good to go.
Hell yeah, man. Casey, before you go, tell everybody your podcast name, what it's about, and when it airs, and what it's all about, man.
All right, so Moving Iron podcast about pretty much the economics of the equipment business. So we got everything from a commodity analyst on there Sunday, Chip Mellinger. Wednesday I have Sean Hackett, and Wednesday, Fridays I've got Angie Setzer. I see her on Twitter every once in a while as Gauss Green. She's also part of the Global Ag Network with Girls Talk Ag, so you might check that out. And then, then I have a podcast. My regular podcast part is just, dealers and economists and other folks out there just talking about what's happening in the business, talking about what's affecting the farmer right now, what's affecting the equipment dealer, and how's that stuff all coming together. So, you can pretty much check out Moving Iron Podcast on Fridays. I try to have it drop it out there by Saturday, get it out there for everybody to hear. So I go from there. But, for the most part, man, it's just me talking, being a geek about the stuff I love to talk about. So it's how I roll.
Well, I would really push the case study on the toot toot method, because I really think you could do a seminar at like a Holiday Inn on a weekend, maybe. Not the Expresses, like the old ones they hadn't renovated yet.
Oh yeah.
Even like the hotels or the motels where they have like hourly rates. That would be the best.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
The American Inns.
I guarantee you, there's a lot of toot toot methods going on at the hourly motels.
Yeah, I would bet. And the only person who gives toot toot method is the guy giving the speech, because he's never actually given it. You're a good enough con guy to make a bunch of people believe that he can make it happen.
I know it, man. That is a lost art. Well, everybody, hope you enjoyed this special edition with our guest host. We'll call him a guest host, Casey Seymour, Moving Iron Podcast. Also a member of the Global Ag Network. We hope everybody enjoyed this. Landon, see what you missed. Why don't you go pitch a ball and, call me in the morning. But everybody, until next time, y'all be safe up there. We're still thinking about everybody in that flooded part of Nebraska. And we'll ask you, what side of the line are you on?
The Dryline Farmer Podcast brought to you by
Diego's Bait and Tackle. Hey, get off our back. It's a prototype, all right? Hey,
The Dryline Farmer Podcast, now a member of the Global Ag Network. All rights reserved, 2019.